And
so if you will, open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I kind of felt in my spirit that this is a year that's going to begin more in the realm of the supernatural. And I'm not talking about the supernatural that would frighten people, but would cause people to come and drink of that supernatural river. And, of course, God is leading us, leading me as a leader, how to make that happen. You know, it's one thing for God to reveal something to us, but it's another thing for Him to reveal to us how to do that, how to make that thing work, how to make that thing happen. And I don't know about you, but I feel that the way society is going, how many of you know, we need the supernatural aspect of God to meet that demand that's out there. And boy, my heart just grieves me when you just see people on television, you know, on the news saying that they don't believe people could do that to people. Well, believe it. Cruelty and viciousness is increasing to the point you can't even leave your home without being concerned for whether it's going to be broken into and robbed or not. And so the latter days, Paul said, fear would come about men or mankind. And boy, we're seeing that. We're seeing it a lot. Even the police out of New York made a statement. They see a society that is getting more and more calloused towards what is right from what is wrong. Boy, when your police department make that statement, you know, how many of you know that even the police department is kind of calloused in some areas, you know? And so we're seeing a society going downhill fast. And that shows me that the return of the Lord has got to be pretty soon. Because He said just before He comes for the church, He says lawlessness will really abound. But what position should we as a church take? Well, I might as well just open up and be truthful about it. What the church has been doing in the past hasn't been working. You can't bring men to change through condemnation. You can't bring men to change through a God that they're serving by law. It won't work. God Himself changed the direction that He's going in. And He always intended to go in that direction. He introduced law because of lawlessness. But He knew that man can't live under law. He has to live under a change of heart. A lot of people don't realize God thinks that way. So you find a lot of doctrines that are floating around that are doctrines that want to serve God, but yet they don't depict where God's heart really is to serve mankind. There's something about man that does not want to admit that God is willing to love them and to be gracious with them, and to see to it that they have the best that He can give them if they receive Him and accept Him. See, people think God is up there and wanting self-glory, wanting men to worship Him. And as long as mankind can worship Him, He's satisfied. But I got news for you. God never does anything out of selfishness within Himself. God is not self-centered. God is self-sufficient. God doesn't need to be appeased by what man can do. God is appeased by what man will allow Him to do for them. That is the love of God. And yet, if you don't understand the love of God, then you don't know how to serve God, because God is love. And so a lot of times you hear people going through tragedies, and people want you to pray for people that are going through tragedies and everything. And yet you get frustrated, because a lot of times you don't know how to pray for these people, because you know within your own heart these people are not doing things that would cause God to better their life. It's like they want to go to heaven, but they want to do what they want to do while they're here. In God, your life is bigger, has a bigger plan for God than just to serve yourself. God wants you to get to a place where you understand His love for you and how He frees you to do what you desire to do, but with a changed heart. God doesn't want you to serve your whole life for yourself. He wants to get into your heart in such a way that you'll serve mankind with His heart. Does that make sense to you? In Galatians chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you will go to, first of all, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such, notice what he says, there is no law. Why is he making that statement, there is no law? Because law cannot motivate your willingness to do anything. Did you know that? Just because there's speed limit out there on the highway, it says 60 miles an hour, does not necessarily mean that when I go and I see that sign, 60 miles an hour, it builds a confidence and trust in me in the law department. You got what I'm saying. But when you have the love of God working in your heart and you're going down the freeway 60 miles an hour and you see it and you say, I will obey the speed law for the sake of others that are on the freeway with me. Yeah, I should be the one preaching this, seeing how what I did to a policeman a few months ago. Sometimes I go driving in my truck in the flesh. I left my spirit at the office. How many of you know that if you're not careful, other people can really make your day? Driving down the freeway out here. Sure enough, this Dodge Charger comes speeding up. And he wants to get in front of me, and there's a truck ahead of him. I said, you sucker, you always do this to me every time. You speed up, you don't plan ahead, and you want to cut right in front of me. So I just stepped on it, speeded it up, cut him off. You know, you never feel good about that. You never feel good about that. And I'm sitting there, I got you, you sucker. Pulls behind me and puts a blue light on me. I was very curious as to why he would pull me over after I cut him off. So the first thing he says to me, do you know why I cut you off? And I said, yeah, I cut you off. That is not why I pulled you over. Then he tells me my windows are tinted too dark. I said, I couldn't even see through your windows. They were tinted dark too, because if I could see through your windows, I would have seen that you were a policeman and I wouldn't have cut you off. I was headed for the rifle range, and I had a whole car full of guns. And so he asked me where I was going. I said, going to the shooting range. Oh. I did like the guy. kind of a cool guy. But anyway, people can make your day when you're going down the freeway. And so what happens is that when we begin to serve God in a law form, we make ourselves just like a police officer. We want everyone to obey the rules of my person. Best way to say it. And as a result of that, we have our relationship with God that way, and we seem to forget what He's really all about. God came into our life not so that we can get others to serve and worship Him like we do, so that they can become puppets on a string like we've become puppets on a string, and when He pulls the strings, we move. God never intended to do that for any man's life. God intended for people to come in to the kingdom of God. Somebody said, well, church, you know, the only reason church is for good with people that come to the end of the road. You know, that's a good reason for church. Because if you come down to the end of the road, God gives you new beginnings, new highways, new roads to go down. Well, you know, church is a crutch. No, it's not. Church is a healing center for a life that will destroy you if you don't know how to stop it. Because at the fall of mankind, that sin nature entered the world. And then separation by it. God came into your life not so that He could control you and get you to serve and worship Him only. God came into your life to manifest His love to mankind that He has for all of mankind by changing you into the person that you not only would desire to be, but others would desire for you to be. That's why He says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And people, I'm going to tell you something. If these are the fruits of the Spirit, did God give you these fruits for yourself? Every one of them indicates it's a giving out. I mean, who wouldn't want to have self-control over their own self? But sometimes it takes self-control for where other people are. What about this meekness? Do you want to be meek to yourself? What is the purpose of being teachable? Meekness. Well, what about peace? Do you want to serve God in such a way that He will take you to peace, regardless of somebody else not having peace? Well, these fruits of the Spirit are designed to be aggressive. They're to emanate outside of you. But if you don't have them in you, then you don't have control of your own life. Having said that, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And this year, I think God would want you to reflect on the fact of why you're here. Why is He in your life? Well, the first thing that He wants to do is He wants to repair. And He wants to show you what light is, so that you can give light to others. If you don't have any light, how are you going to let others see? Unless you have light to give them. And your light is what causes them to be able to see. In 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was a church very zealous of the gifts of the Spirit. They loved the supernatural. They loved to get self-glory. The church was in it. A lot of pride within them. And Paul knew that he had to hear from God and receive instruction for that type of church so that the church would get out of themselves and get into other people's lives. So when he talks about the church in 1 Corinthians, He gives some good pastoral advice. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul really shines as a pastor in 1 and 2 Corinthians. And yet 1 and 2 Corinthians are not known as pastoral epistles, but they have a lot of pastoral issues in it that's amazing. And so Paul comes down to 1 Corinthians 12, and he starts talking about what they gloried in, and that was the supernatural. Speaking in tongue, gifts of the Spirit, people receiving healing, prophecies, this whole spiritual thing. That's what they call it, spirituality. And really what it is, it's God working into the church as a whole because he sees things not as the church sees them, but as he does. And so he places within the church people in their proper setting and proper gifts or giftings according to their call. And yet we take that out of God's hands. We should not do that. We should give God time to fit us as a member in the body and gift us accordingly. And so with that thought in mind, he comes down and he says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, "Now you are a body of Christ and members in particular," is what it says in the Greek. And so when you're part of a body, the body of Christ, which is by his word is a segment of the entire universal body of Christ, we are a specific part of the body of Christ as a church, and then we are members in particular. And the sad thing about it is many people who attend church are not members in particular. They never really join the church. They never really get involved in what it means to give of themselves within the church setting. After all, they want to serve God individually with nobody stopping them. And so they don't give in to that and never become a member. But he comes down to the end of what he had to say about partial insight on the gifts of the Spirit and how the people are set in the body as he sees fit and everything. And he says in verse 26, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if a member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And so he's saying something here that's very interesting. If one member suffers, we all suffer. Well, I've been in churches before I became a pastor, and when I heard somebody pass on, I never really felt a suffering for them. And I find out later why, because I never really joined myself to that body, never really got involved with the people in that body, and never friended them in my life. And so if there's no connection to the fellowship, then how am I going to grieve for the loss of someone? You know? And so I begin to realize I've got to expand my heart to a greater degree than that. Then that was down the road of time. I began to realize that when I started reading these little verses like this. If one member suffers, we all suffer. Well, I haven't been suffering for everybody that's had a problem. Why is that? Just now when people call me to pray for somebody, it's hard for me to pray for them because I might not know that person, but yet I know they're going through something. And so I have to linger with God in my prayer closet a little bit to get the mind of the Lord on the subject before I can make even a connection for that. And I find that God can even do that for you if you're willing to give of yourself for other people. And God will give you some information about the one that you have to pray for, and he'll help you and assist you on how to pray for them. But you got to have a desire for people. You know, a lot of people just soon come to church, sit in a pew, hear the word, leave, and be left alone. Well, that's not living. That's not living life. And so Paul, he comes down to the end of this. He says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But, now I'm going to give you this verse out of the original text, because I want to make a point here what he does. But desire eagerly the greater gifts, and yet, I show you a way according to excellence. Now see, our translators didn't put that down that way, but that's the way it actually is in the original tongue. But desire eagerly the greater gifts, and yet I show you a way according to excellence. You know, that speaks something to me. That means that I have all kinds of options, but he's about ready to say, with all these options, I can show you a more excellent thing. How many of you would go that way? I hope you would. Yet I show you a more excellent way. A way according to excellence. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And I got to thinking, boy, Paul, you know, you go to all this detail of how important it is for you to set each and every one of us as a member in the body of Christ. You encourage us with the gifts of the Spirit, and people run off with that like crazy and everything. Then you come down and you kind of put a negative ending to everything. But that's not what he was doing. He was doing something that all of us need to realize, that if one member suffers, we're all going to suffer. There has to be something that makes all the rest work. And it's called the love of God. He says, if you have these things working for you in verse 1, then you're dealing with words only. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. This is what we claim our spirituality under. This is spiritual claiming. I can prophesy. I can draw the mysteries and all knowledge out of God. I have faith that can remove mountains. Boy, I'll tell you what. It wouldn't take much for humanity to run after that one. And though I bestow all my goods and to feed the poor. Oh man, this is where the world comes from. And though I give my body, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Oh, I forgot to put in there. If I give my body to be burned, so I may boast. I was always amazed by that particular verse because I never could figure out how I would boast about it to everybody after I've become a martyr at giving my life up. But what he was talking about is a self-sacrifice. We got words. We've got spiritual claiming. We have physical sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you what. Notice what he says about the love of God. He says, the love of God suffers long. We read that, we don't realize how unreal that is in our thinking when we deal with difficult people. Notice it suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. That means if that is the love of God, is that the love of God for me? You mean to tell me I'm going to suffer long with myself? Am I going to be long-suffering towards myself? Oh, does not think no evil. Actually, in the Greek that says keeps no account of the wrong that was done. So I'm not going to think of the wrong that I did in myself. My, how sweet do I love myself. Every one of these things called the fruit of the love of God is the giving out of yourself. That's where you're going to be challenged more than ever in your life. I know. I've been challenged even this last week. I was challenged with myself. I had an attitude. So much so that my wife said, Pastor Butler. She keeps her place with God. So I just went in my room and shut the door. Kept my mouth shut. Because you know right away that when you're dealing with the love of God is the giving out of yourself for others, not yourself. The only way that God can perfect love in me is for me to learn how to love others. If I don't learn how to love others, the love of God won't develop in me. The only thing that will develop in me is more law for somebody else. Have you ever seen people disappear in your life? I guarantee if you were to stop and ask them why, you did something wrong. Because some people just want to hire you into their life. And as long as you perform as a hireling, you're okay. But when you let them down and bring an offense to them, they'll walk. They won't stay committed to you. You know, we always think of an adultery as something sexual. Do you know the spirit of adultery doesn't necessarily always connect to a sexual thing? Really, the spirit of adultery is called unfaithfulness. That's what gives adultery its power. Is that you don't want to be loyal, you don't want to be committed. And so that's why adultery is always connected to a fornicator, is because they're not loyal to the one they're supposed to bond to. And so that's why the spirit of adultery is such a damaging thing in our life. We don't realize that when we have that spirit working in us, we'll hire people into our life as long as they perform on our behalf. But if they don't perform on our behalf, we just cast them off like garbage. And we move on. I'm just about through. But we need to work at understanding some things about the love of God. Will really promote us this year. Because when the love of God really starts working in your heart, you don't realize how powerful of a tool that is to amplify the Spirit of God for others. You know, all down through generations, Christianity has always got a bad name because of the hypocrisy that has been infused with. Well, you know, you can't keep going on and resisting the kingdom of God because of hypocrites within the kingdom. You know? But you got to make a difference. So now that you're a believer, make a difference. Get involved. Be an active member. Let God work in your heart for others. Learn to be long-suffering. Learn to be kind. Learn to resist pride and self-seeking things. Because when you start building the love of God in your heart, I'm going to tell you, if you are really struggling to do something for the kingdom of God and finding you're having a hard time doing that, let God begin to work in your heart in the form of love. And I'll tell you what, He'll keep you busier than what you can handle. A lot of messages you hear on TV, a lot of them are good, but some of them are so self-seeking messages that it nauseates me. How can you have that kind of spirit about you? Because that's not the spirit of God. Spirit of lust. Wanting more money. Everybody's out for everybody's money. Well, what? Why doesn't somebody go after the love of God? I'll never forget years ago, my brother Timmy. He was telling me about Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan there in, what was it, San Francisco? And he went and called that church and everything. And I said to my brother, I said, why did you do that? Why would you even want to know about that? And he said, well, I was curious about what the church is about. Remember, and I told Timmy, I said, Tim, you're crazy. You have no business doing that. That guy is the scum of the earth. He's given himself over to Satan. Well, he knows that he's done that now. I mean, he's on the other side. Unless Satan's using him for the church there. But I could see that Tim was... My brother was not moving in the direction of the love and nature of Christ. Jesus, He's the one you seek. He's the one you go after. What are you like, Jesus? What are you all about? And you find Him in Scripture. You know, just recently I've been seeking God for greater manifestations of healing in our church, for our church. And I don't have all the answers, but God did put it in my heart to go back to the four Gospels. And Jesus said, I will, I'll do it. He did it. You know, you always see Him doing it, doing it, doing it. He healed all. And then Jesus came back and said, I haven't changed. I haven't changed. He says, all I did is I left you the legacy of my word so that it could be the same. Jesus is willing. The only trouble is He transferred His willingness to the church. Now we have to come to His willingness through the Word of God to perform the same thing, because it's the same Jesus doing the same thing that He did back there. But you have to learn about the love of Jesus, the love of God. We've lost a lot of people because they fellowship with us even in our body and got into conflict and then was judged for it. Who's right from who's wrong. And then they felt unloved and rejected by our church and left. That shouldn't even be named among us. Because people's mistakes should not be the proof of getting rid of them or judging them or telling them whatever you want to tell them. Because that is not where people are at when they make mistakes in their life. Don't you think they feel the same way? That they've made a mistake? It takes the love of God within the body of Christ to bring them back around. And these things that people tell that God's revealing to them about so-and-so in the church and how they got devils and stuff. I don't listen to those type of people anymore. I listen to the ones that say, you know, God revealed to me of what He's going to speak in their heart to bring them back. Now that's something I can handle. Because that's the love of God. You know, in closing, I want to share with you Matthew the book of Matthew. Go to chapter 7. I'm going to close on this. In Matthew chapter 7, right at the very first, he says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Have you ever noticed that some people are their own demise? Because they don't know how to walk in life circumspectly with other people. And they want to know why they're the ones always picked on. Well, the first thing you do is got to get a clue of how you're walking with them. It always comes back to yourself, not somebody else. You know, I am what somebody else made me. That kind of spirit should not be in our midst. You're never what somebody else made you. The Bible tells you that once you're in Christ, He transforms you so that what He has made you, you will make in other people's lives. We always get this mentality, who's right from who's wrong. When God goes back and deals with what's wrong in you, period, and not what's wrong in somebody else, because you can't do something about somebody else. All you can do is put them under law because they're not doing what you asked them to do in your life. Have you ever seen a movie when it has a skunk in it? I was watching Night of the Grizzly with this one actor, Clint Walker, or whatever his name was. Clint Eastwood. No, not Clint Eastwood. Clint Walker. And they had a little girl. She was just a little thing. And she ran off with the dog out in the prairie there and found a kitty. Kitty, 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 kitty. And she goes into the bushes. She catches the kitty, but it's a skunk. So, shows her coming back to the house, and the hero goes, "What's that smell?" So they open the door. "Hi. What did you... did you get a skunk?" "It was a kitty." And so she couldn't figure out why she had to sit out apart from the family, eat her food outside on the porch and there in the house, and because she stunk like a skunk. And that's the way some people go through life. Why doesn't anybody like to be around me? Because you're a stinker. You don't want to tell them that, but you smell bad. And that's the way we can with our character. We can be that way. Our nature and character. I'll tell you, the bottom line for anybody into any kind of conflict in their life, the bottom line is, if you get into their mail, the bottom line is they have been dejected, they have been hurt, and they don't know how to deal with rejection or hurt. The spirit of rejection is a horrible thing in people's lives. And so they don't know how to get help. But if the love of God gets in your heart, you can be a healing balm to them. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And the word "judge" here, krino, literally means to pass sentence on people. And if you begin to pass sentence on people, the reason you're doing it is to discontinue a fellowship with them. And that is not God's permission for your life. God wants you to have not only fellowship with Him, but to fellowship with others. Because He's done something about our relationship. But in order for a relationship to be built on or strengthened, it comes through the fellowship. And if the fellowship is broke down, then the relationship can't develop. But you still came out of the same womb. Every one of you that are born again here, that Jesus is your heavenly Father, you came out of the same womb I came out of. I'm your brother. You're my sister. That is the church. Whether we like it or not, we think more of a natural birth than we do a spiritual birthing. That's why Cain and Abel, they came out of the same womb. But one wanted to follow God and the other one didn't. And death occurred because of that. Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying for the same measure that you measure with others, that's going to come back on you. These particular ones are the ones that towards the end of this chapter crying out to God because the rains and the floods were coming and their house was going down the river, and they were talking and praying to God to help stop their house from going down the river. And God says, if you know how to pray, then the problem is you have not dealt with an issue that's in your heart that you find in others. The chip in other people, how are you going to remove somebody else's faults if you haven't first of all removed yours? And that's what Jesus was saying. Comes down here and he says right towards the end of this chapter, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. And the word, you'd have to understand the Greek there, understanding the word, I never knew you. It is not the word oida, which means I never had a relationship with, I never knew you. It is the word gnosko, which literally means I never had an approving fellowship with you. They knew him, or they wouldn't have declared their works in him. They prophesied, they cast out, they'd done many wonderful works in his name. They knew him, but God could not speak back into their life and change their attitude. Could not remove the log that was in their eyes because they were too busy looking at the pressed down, shaken together, running over chip that was in theirs. That's why he said, that's the reason your house is going down the river. Well, I don't understand why. I smell. And nobody wants to be around me.
Because people don't like your odor. Yes, it's time to go home. And I come to church to hear this. Hallelujah. God brings stability in your life. He brings joy into your life. He brings peace into your life as you do it for others. What you do to others will come back on. I know, I've lived it. I've lived it with my staff, I've lived it with my church, lived it with my family. And it's true. The same measure you give them, be measured back to you. Quit picking on people, they'll quit picking on you. All right, there. Stand up, everybody.
I knew I should have stayed home and played with the playoffs.
Would you honorary thing? The reason you're here is you need to hear the very thing I preached. Say ouch. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for your wonderful people. I thank you how you're pruning us. You're transforming us. You're changing us so that we could be a loving example of what our Heavenly Father is really all about. He's not out to control people's lives. He's out to love people's lives. To love them. And if you're here today, and you feel unloved, I love Norma's prophecy. Did you hear what she said? It was prophetic. And boy, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's me talking through her. She needs to know that too. That no matter where you are, even today, no matter where you are, God knows about you. Can you imagine? The God that has already created where Star Trek has never gone. That same God knows you. Think about that. He knows you. You know, there isn't one person in this building God doesn't know you. He knows what you think. He knows what you'll say. He's the Psalms 139 to you. Everybody in here has Psalms 139 accredited to their life. He knows you're sitting up. He knows you're getting up and you're sitting down. He knows it no matter where you've gone, no matter how far you've gone in life. He's been there with you all the time. If you feel like you're depressed and in darkness, that's light to Him. Think about that. Psalms 139 is your psalm. It's everyone's psalm in here. David would not reveal that if it wasn't true for everyone. Psalms 139. You can go home and paste it on your fridge. He knows even when you go to the refrigerator. And then he ends it with this. It's simple. It's easy. All you have to do is say, God, if there be any evil in me, reveal it so that I can walk in the way of everlasting. Whew. The love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He loves you. And when you do things for Him, it's because He put it there. It wasn't because you dreamed it up all on your own. Did you know that, Mike? Your book of poems that are coming out. You know, you can't get credit for that. All you are, the woodhead that went ahead and wrote all the stuff, but it was Him working through you. Amen? Shows the love of God. Hallelujah. Some of them poems, they're not you. Anyway. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And we better close this service right now. But before we do, Father, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you like we know you, that don't have you as their Heavenly Father, but would love to receive you. Not that He would control your life, but He would change it so that you would have life more abundantly. So that you would succeed while you're here, and not only just getting there, but succeed while you're here. You have so much to gain, and yet you have so much to lose. So if you've never said the sinner's prayer and would like to receive Jesus this morning, we'll wait right here for you and pray with you. But if you've received Jesus, but yet you've grown cold and complacent and indifferent, lost a desire to hear the Word, and just feel so foreign to everything, well, the Lord will just bring you on back to that presence. That wonderful presence. And if you've never been full of the Holy Spirit, we'd love to lay hands on you and see God just fill you with that heavenly language and the activation of the Holy Spirit for knowledge. Wow. If you're still struggling with physical ailments and things, we'd love to pray for you. So with that said, everyone that needs prayer, salvation, restoration, and filling of the Spirit, healing of the body, would you step out right now and come forward, anybody? Feel free to do that. Anybody? Okay, come forward. Oh, I detect you're up here for healing. Anyone else? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.